Gemara in Shabbos and Daf Chaf Aleph describes the nes of the Pach HaShemen, the fact that Knesset Yisrael was able to find a single Pach HaShemen, and miraculously it burned for 8 days. And a simple question, and maybe the question could be different regarding day one and the balance of the days, why was it necessary to have Shemen, which is Tahor? Discuss this in a more halachic framework. The Gemara tells us, Yuma Daf Av, Sanhedrin Daf Yud Beis, that Tum is either Hutra or Duchuya Bitzibur. The fact that there's contact with Tuma is not an insurmountable problem. There are ways that we can deal with Tuma when it comes to Avodas HaMikdash. And does that really in fact mean that even if there wasn't Shemen Tahor, that nonetheless the Avoda Hadlokas HaNeiros could continue? You can take a look in the Bach and the Pri Chodesh, Tafresh Ayin, that argue that maybe not. Maybe that sugya of Tuma Hutra Dechuya Betzibur is limited to only certain types of Tuma, maybe only certain types of Avoda, and maybe it's not relevant to Ner Chanukah. But there is an incredible Chiddush that Rav Yosef Engel has, Gilyonei HaShas and Shabbos Andav Chaf Aleph. Let's assume, yes, that Tuma is Hutra Dechuya Betzibur, and therefore the Avoda could have continued. But is there any reason not to apply that to the initial hadlaka of the menorah itself? You know, when you look in Parsha Shmini, in Vayikra Perek Yud, also maybe a similar kasha, the Torah describes the days of the miluim, more specifically Yom Shmini the miluim, and the Torah tells us, Vihinei Sorav, that one of the karbanos had to be burned. Rashi writes that with the Sor Lachatos of Rosh Chodesh, there was several si'urim, but that specifically was that si'ir. And why was it burnt? Rashi says, mipnei hatuma shenagaba, because it came in contact with tuma. If you look there, mikros gadolos, dasakenim, mebali atosus raised a very similar question. Tuma? That is not an insurmountable problem. Tuma is hutra, tuma is dechuya betzibur. The fact that there was contact with tuma should not prevent the carbon from being offered. And the third marimakam, and I will tell you the sugya Rosh Hashanah Daf Yud Gimel, the Gemara questions as follows. We first entered Eretz Yisrael. We had an opportunity to offer the Mincha Sa'omer. The Gemara raises a very simple question. Where did the Sa'orim come from? We just entered Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, what was the source of the Sa'orim? The Ran is bothered by a similar question. It's true that ideally the Sorim should come from Chel Koshel Yehuda, but that certainly is not the Ikuva. If necessary, if you don't find the proper Saorim there, you can bring Saorim from Eiver HaYarden, B'nai Gad, B'nai Ruvain. Why was that an insurmountable problem? That which the Gemara asks, that where did we secure the initial Saorim for the Mincha Sa'omer? That's the Kash of the Ran. The Tzara Shavah Shebehen, that's Sugin Rosh Hashanah Daf Yud Gimel, and the Rashi in Parsha Shmini, and the Sugin Shabbos and Daf Chaf Aleph. Seemingly something was necessary, even though there was a easier and more obvious solution. So the Ran writes the following Chiddush. It's true that, you know, if indeed there would come a time that in the Mikdash Hashem we wouldn't have Sa'orim, Sorim would not fully be developed in Eretz Yisrael at that season, you know what? We could go to Chutz Laretz, we could go Me'evil Yarden, and we could secure Sorim. But imagine the context. This is the first time in our history that the Mincha Sa'omer was offered in Eretz Yisrael. Is it conceivable, the Ran writes, that the first time that the mitzvah would be performed, it was done b'dieved, based on Duchuya or even Hutra, as opposed to setting the mark of the highest standard for the purpose of Avoda? That, the Ran writes, was what bothered the Gemara Rosh Hashanah Daf Yud Gimel. The first time we offered the Mincha Sa'omer, it's true, when push comes to shove, there are ways b'dieved you could do the mitzvah. But the first time the mitzvah was performed, it wasn't done b'kedusha uvetara, mechadchila, mitzvah namuvchar. How can that conceivably be? Rav Yosef Engel writes, that's exactly the true when it comes to the miluim. These were the days of the consecration of the Mishkan Hashem. It's true as a fallback. b'dieved that Tuma is Shechuya b'tzibur, but that was the Miluim, the time of the consecration of the Mishkan Hashem, both in b'dieved, not being done with absolute Kedusha and Tara. Rebbe Sevengo writes, that was also true during the time of Hanukkah. After all, it was necessary to forge a new Mizbeach and a new menorah, and realize this was the first time that that menorah was lit. I would place that in the following context. When you look in the Sugya Sanhedrin Tezayin Shuas Tevot Tezvav, the Gemara raises the following. How is it that you are Mikadesh, the Kelim of the Mishkan HaBeis HaMikdash? The Gemara tells us the following, that Kol HaKelim Shasha Moshe Rabbeinu, Mishichasan Mekadshan. Your Moshech with Shemana Mishcha, and now it has a Kedusha Sakli. And what about Mikan Ve'elech? What about Ludoros? You don't have the Shemana Mishcha? Avodasa Mechanchasa. The Tchilas HaAvoda is Mekadesh. The Tchilas HaAvoda is Mekadesh. It's a fascinating example. We have this in the Sechus Kedusha, no, of Boink Echad. After all, you need a Kli to do Avoda, and Avoda is Mekadesh the Kli, not a Kasha. Boink Echad. No, that the Kedusha Sakli that's necessary for the Avoda comes simultaneous. The Dion in Ktzos, no? When do you say the Yisod of Boink Echad, B'cholot Arakula? But Avodasa Mechan Chasa. That's the initial Hadlaka. Oh, Yosef Engel writes the following Chiddush. It's true. You have a Kedusha Sakli, you have a functioning Beis HaMikdash, and there happens to be that there was an aspect of Tumah. We could solve that problem of Tumah. Yuma Dafav, Senu Daf Yabez, but Avodasa Mechanchasa, the very first Hadlaka, and that would be a Chiddush, no? That there was more of a need for Shem and Tahar on day one than all the remaining days. Yes, there was an Ace of the Pach HaShemen that didn't require that we rely on any dechia even for the 8 days of Hanukkah. But on day one, that was essential because of Avodasa Mechanchasa. So what's true that the Ran writes of Minchasa Omer, that's Rashi Shita when it comes to the days of the Miluim, and that perhaps is the need for a single Pach HaShemen to be Mekadesh, to be Mechanech, Avodasa Mechanchasa. And that I will tell you is an important Hashkaf HaSachayim, that you know what? We perform the mitzvahs of Hashem, of course. But beyond the root mitzvah, you have to recognize Asher Kedushanu Mitzvosav Etzivanu, Kadshenu Mitzvosecha, that performance of the mitzvahs of Hashem is a manifestation of Kedusha, of Avodasa Mechanchasa, and how a person fulfills a mitzvah, both in a mubchar, really matters. The fact that maybe sometimes you can get by with less is not an excuse to somehow not to strive for more. A person has to see to it that you prepare yourself for Avodas Hashem. And you do so with honesty and integrity and with amelus and with a sense of hasmada, because a mitzvah is not just merely that which one does, mitzvah sanashim ulumada, but rather you recognize the Avodasa Mechachasa. It's true of the Tchilas Avoda, and no doubt, to a lesser extent, every opportunity of Avodas Hashem, that's considered to be critical. And that's what sets B'nai Yeshiva apart. Now, mitzvos is a privilege. Mitzvos is opportunities to develop that closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to recognize that every Kiyum HaMitzvah, every Tefillah, every opportunity of Esek B'Torah is literally, that sense of Avodasa Mechanchasa. This has to be the mindset of, sometimes it's ironic that during the week of Hanukkah and sometimes in yeshiva, because the scheduling, you end up learning less. You end up leaving Seder early. You know, that's not what Hanukkah is about, no? To try to see to it with incredible amelos, to be able to absorb the Kedusha Sayom of the days of Hanukkah to the full extent and to allow it to penetrate, to allow it to be absolutely, absolutely impactful. A word simply about the makom hadlaka. For our yeshiva, I would suggest the following, that no one can light in their rooms, right? That really is not an etzah, right? Lighting should be done in the dining room, upstairs on the fourth floor, but I want you to see to it that is your place. That is a makom, that there is a kvius, that you're eating your meals there. even if typically speaking that's not done during the rest of the year, I want you for the week of Hanukkah to see to it that your achila is there. Establish as much of a kviyas which is possible, that the yeshiva is going to provide supper right every night in order to see to it that it happens. It's a good eitzel lahalacha, and it's free of charge. You'll be able to eat your suda right upstairs, and no excuses, right? Breakfast upstairs. You can have your lunch upstairs. Dinner upstairs. Make that the makom kavua for hadlaka. That, I would tell you, is the best place to be able to light. Sometimes I see that people are lighting the outside. You know, that itself is a deun, but I'll tell you, the makom hadlaka outside is not simple. It's not simple. You learn the sugya, the mitzvah Hashem will do, Shabbos daf kafala from the bays. What is the tefach hasamach lepesach? That's very unclear. Machlokas between Rashi and Tosos. And the makom hadlaka has to be a tefach hasamach lepesach. I always have a chalisha sadas because when I just simply walk near the dorms, I see menorahs that are way beyond the tefach hasamach lepesach. And guess what? You're not going to be yotze. You're not going to be yotze if you do that. The way our entranceways are configured, the tefach hasamach lepesach is very narrow. It's very narrow. There certainly is not room there to be able to place one menorah after another, after another, after another. I would not recommend lighting outdoors, right? It's a question of whether b'di'evid you are going to be yotze, unless you really precisely know what the makam hadlaka would be. So I would suggest again, don't light in your rooms. You're not going to rely on the hadlaka, which is here in the Beis Medrash. The dining room is the appropriate place, but Yikovei Amako, that's something which is clear. Those of you in the Beis Medrash who are living in the other building, come see me afterwards. We'll speak about how you can light there, but obviously that has to be done with enormous shmira. But for the Bnei Yeshiva who are in the typical dorms, that's indeed what should be done. Aside from the technical hadlaka, that recognize that for us this is an opportunity. You know, as the Zman continues, pressures mount. You know, midterms, finals, I understand sometimes, you know, that it's hard to get into the routine. So Baruch Hashem, that now Hanukkah is coming, and that's the time for us to gird all of our efforts and to see to it that the Hasmada is something that should be absolutely, absolutely remarkable. That Baruch Hashem, we have much going on in the coming week. Hachnasa Sefer Torah on Monday, and on Tuesday we'll have a special, very meaningful Suda in Kumsitz, something very appropriate, replete with Divrei Torah, but something that will be an appropriate way of being able to celebrate Hanukkah, but recognizing that Knesset Yisrael really is faced with an Esara, but the balance will be an appropriate one. Monday night, the Mashkiach will have a Tish. There's so many opportunities that we have to be able to celebrate together. I urge you to be able to participate and use this as an opportunity for incredible growth, incredible perseverance, incredible opportunities to be able to reach that lofty goal of avodasa mechanchasa.